So Philemon is one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's only 25 verses long. I think it's right around 315 Greek words. And we are taking it in 4 weeks. And so we are only going to be looking at a few verses tonight. If you would turn to the book of Philemon, tonight we're going to be reading verses 4-7. Philemon is at the very end of Paul's letters, right after Titus. It's on page 1860 in your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along on paper. Otherwise, the words will be on the screen as well. Philemon, beginning at verse 4. This is Paul speaking, or Paul writing, I'm sorry. I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last week we had a bit of an overview. We talked a little bit about kind of the people involved in this letter. We talked a little bit about Paul and Timothy, who the letter is written from, and we talked a little bit about Philemon and his family and his church, who the letter is written to. And we talked about how it's pretty evident in this letter, which is where we know Philemon from, that Philemon was a pretty successful and influential businessman, okay? He was he was a guy that had some things going for him. He was quite wealthy, but evidently he used much of his wealth and success and influence to help God's kind of blossoming church in the first century. And actually, from what we read in this letter, he had apparently been used by God to help and support Paul personally as well. And Paul loved Philemon and highly esteemed him as a man of God. Now, we pointed out last week that the letter is actually written to four named recipients. Of course, there's Philemon, the title of the letter, right? Philemon is the main guy. And then we said it was written to Apphia, which we think was Philemon's wife. And we also noticed that it's written to a man named Archippus, who we think is Philemon's son. And then the fourth recipient, this is important because this is how it comes down to us. It was also written to the church that met at Colossae. But that said, in verses 4-7, I can tell you for certain that Paul is writing specifically to Philemon. And I know this because the pronoun you here is singular. And so even though this entire letter is written to those four recipients, there are times when Paul is speaking specifically to Philemon. And verses 4-7 is one of those sections. And what Paul wants Philemon to know here is this, that Paul continually thanked God for Philemon and continually prayed for Philemon because of what he continually heard about Philemon and because of what he continually knew about Philemon. Now, I want you to remember, before we get too far into this character study of Philemon, that the driving purpose behind Paul writing this letter is to appeal to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, his former slave who had run away and stolen from him, and to receive Onesimus back into the fellowship based on the reality that Onesimus had come to faith in Jesus Christ, based on the reality that Onesimus is now right with God and a brother in Christ. And so in these opening verses of the letter, Paul kind of takes some time here to describe the character of Philemon. And he also offers a prayer on Philemon's behalf, thanking God for his active and growing faith. Yes, if you're going to go by most of the commentators that are talking about Philemon, Philemon is already a quality man of God. And that point becomes very clear as we read these verses, because there are two primary points of thanksgiving in this prayer. First, Paul continually thanks God for Philemon, verses 4 and 5. I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now, I believe that it is a great benefit when we pray for one another. I live better, I think, when people that love me and care about me are keeping me lifted up in their prayers. And I hope that others live better as I lift them up and keep them in my prayers. I think it's critical that believers keep one another in prayer. And this is obviously something vital and valuable, or else why in the world would Paul mention this to Philemon? Paul wanted Philemon to know that he was continually praying for him. Now, all of you who are part of this church need to know that everyone in this congregation is continually prayed for by name. We so often take that for granted, I think. But it is a wonderful blessing to be a part of a church where you are actually prayed for specifically and individually, a place where you are prayed for because you are known. So it's clear from verse 4 that Paul continually thanked God for Philemon, and Paul continually made requests on behalf of Philemon as well. And I want you to think about how that would make Philemon feel. Because Paul was a pretty big deal. Paul had a special relationship with God because God had done some pretty amazing things in Paul's life. And so having Paul pray specifically for Philemon and on behalf of Philemon is pretty significant. When people that you think highly of remember you in their prayers, that is quite an honor and quite an encouragement. You know, it made me think this week of a quote that I've been aware of for a long time, and it sometimes it pops into my head at kind of odd times, but it's a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he says this, "Treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he could be, and he will become what he should be." Have any of you, apart from Kevin, heard that quote? I love that quote. Love that quote. Because it's not that I have a problem that most commentators kind of talk about Philemon right out of the box as though he is this really ultra-mature, ultra-together Christian. Because, you know, if Paul was confident that Philemon would automatically do the right thing, then I don't see the reason why he would write this letter. But granted, Paul says some very, very wonderful things to Philemon about Philemon. And I wonder if some of the philosophy behind this quote of Ralph Waldo Emerson is at work in Paul's mind. He is encouraging Philemon based on the man that he could be and should be in Jesus Christ, maybe even more so than the man that he presently is. It works, ladies and gentlemen. It works in the church too. I personally have had people in my life that have taken the time to encourage me for what I could be rather than what I was at the moment that they encouraged me. And I'll tell you something, it has made a big difference in my life. And I hope that all of you can say the same. And that's, on the other end, is the way that I live my life too. I want to see people and encourage me based on who they are becoming in Jesus Christ, perhaps even more so than where they are at a given moment. But anyway, back to the letter. It's a little bit of a soapbox, a little bit of a rabbit trail. The other thing that's kind of fascinating to me about this letter is that logistically, it's important to know that Paul is actually in prison himself at the time of writing this letter. And yet he is praying with an obviously thankful heart. Paul is praying, Paul is writing the letter from a place of complete security and complete contentment in the Lord Jesus, even though his circumstances are less than ideal. I try to imagine this week, if I were in prison, I would think that a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving would be a pretty difficult thing for me to maintain, especially on behalf of others. I mean, there's not much to be thankful for in a situation like that on the surface anyway. Yet for Paul, the thought of Philemon, free, going about his daily life, the thought of Philemon, his character and his work, was a real encouragement. As Paul languished in prison, he nevertheless found great joy and delight in thinking about Philemon. And I want you to understand that this is special because Paul did not think this way about everyone. In fact, when he writes to Timothy, and he was imprisoned on another occasion in that situation, he mentions people by name who have betrayed him and fallen away from the faith. And so when Paul says that he is thankful for someone like Philemon, it's important, it's special. Paul continually remembered people who were loyal to him and the gospel, and regardless of his circumstances, he delighted and took great joy in their successes and in their advances in the faith. And I bring that up because one of the commendable things that we see in Paul time and time again is his unstoppable prayer life. I mean, one thing that he could do, whether free or imprisoned, was to pray for churches and to pray for people. And that's a good lesson for us too. No matter where we find ourselves in life, one thing that we can always do is pray. We can pray at home, and we can pray at work, and we can pray in our car, or we can pray in jail. One thing we can always do is pray for people. We also see, I think, in this passage, in this letter, that God brings certain people into our lives by his sovereign direction. People we are called to lift up in prayer because they are special to us. People that we are special to that lift us up in prayer. And obviously Philemon was such a person for Paul. Philemon had been a true friend. And because Philemon was a true friend, Paul continually prayed for him. Now, as we talked about last week, just to give a little bit of background, Philemon had likely come to faith during the time of the Apostle Paul's ministry in Ephesus. And obviously, Philemon had grown in the Lord, and to the point where Paul actually referred to him in the opening three verses as a fellow worker in the gospel. And we know from this letter as well that Philemon was a strong supporter of Paul in his ministry. And so Paul thanks God for Philemon because of what he is hearing about Philemon's doctrine and life. He is a man of integrity. He has come to believe something, he professes to believe something, and his words and his actions align with that profession of faith. And I want you to know that participle that Paul uses, that participle hearing, is in present tense, which indicates continual ongoing action, okay? It's not that Paul got some one-time report about Philemon and something good that he did. He kept on hearing about the way that this man was connected to God. He kept hearing good things about Philemon's love for God's church and love for God's work. And Paul mentions specifically specifically two things, two reasons why he thanked God, because of what he was hearing about Philemon's faith and because of what he was hearing about Philemon's love. Philemon's faith is mentioned in verse 5a. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, the word faith contains an article. So literally, Paul is saying the faith. I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that refers to the specific faith that Paul is referring to, namely the true, pure gospel of grace, which Paul proclaimed. Salvation in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. Just as Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So, Philemon's faith mentioned in 5a, Philemon's love is mentioned in 5b, I hear about your love for all the saints. Now, I found it interesting this week to find that there is a kind of a scholarly linguistic debate over whether the love mentioned here is for God or for others. And I'll just tell you, it's not much of a debate in my eyes because it would seem to me that it is both. And it has to be both. It's always both when it comes to the Christian life and what we are called to in Jesus Christ. Paul continually heard about the love that Philemon had for God and the love that he had for all the saints. After all, one of the primary ways we are called to demonstrate our love for God is by exercising our love for one another in the household of God, right? That's one of the primary ways. Now, in view of that fact, though, I want you to remember that Paul is writing this letter to encourage and persuade Philemon to forgive his former slave, Onesimus, and to receive Onesimus into the Colossian church, and to no longer see him as a slave, but to see him as an equal brother in Christ. Now, that is a significant demonstration of love, brothers and sisters. In the first century, that would be an unheard-of demonstration of love. But Paul believes that Philemon is good for it. Paul is encouraging and speaking life-giving words into Philemon's life because of who he could be in Christ and who he is becoming in Christ, and not necessarily who he is at this moment. And this is the prayer that Paul offers for Philemon in the text. Verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. So, two specific prayer requests here. Paul's first prayer request pertains to Philemon's experience of fellowship. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Paul specifically prays that Philemon would pursue and enjoy a shared communal faith. And true biblical faith leads to fellowship. It leads to fellowship with all kinds of different people who also have true biblical faith. And that breaks down all of the societal barriers that we could imagine, even the barrier of slavery versus freedom. Now, the word fellowship, literally koinonia in the Greek, the fellowship, carries the ideas of partnership and association and companionship. It is a beautiful word that speaks of having communion with other believers in Jesus Christ. The sense of participating with each other in a shared life of growth and increase of faith. Yeah, God desires the church to be a place of communion with many believers who associate with each other and care about each other and serve each other and pray for each other. Now, again, this is maybe a bit of a stretch for Philemon, because remember, Philemon is successful, he's wealthy, and high status achievers like Philemon typically run with a different crowd than average people do. But Paul is praying that Philemon would have literally an effective fellowship with all people of God in the church. That word effective is one that applies active and powerful communion. Communion that changes things. Communion that can be seen through activity, gestures, words, actions. And so Paul prays that Philemon will enjoy an active and powerful fellowship with other believers. And that is precisely the kind of fellowship that we are to have as well, an active, powerful fellowship. In the specific way, I guess the most obvious way we have this fellowship with each other is by using our various gifts and talents from God and resources to serve one another. And so, Paul's first prayer request for Philemon is for an effective fellowship. His second one pertains to Philemon's knowledge, 6b, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. See, according to Paul here, effective faith comes through knowledge. Not just surface knowledge, not just passing familiarity. Oh, I remember that Bible story. The word for knowledge here, epigenosko, implies a deep knowledge. It implies a comprehensive, layered knowledge. The development of faith that produces all good things that are empowered by our Savior Jesus Christ comes through an ever-increasing and deepening knowledge of God's word and God's will. Imitating Christ and reflecting his character in this world requires a deep knowledge of God. And this is something that so many Christians just don't understand. Or maybe they do understand it, but they think that pursuing this and acting on it is something for a later date. I mean, when I was younger, it was really, really popular for a time to wear those WWJD bracelets. A what would Jesus do reminder that people would wear in clear view so that they could be reminded. And you know, that is all well and good. That is a wonderful reminder. But to actually reap any kind of benefit from that reminder, to develop the ability to respond in a variety of complex situations as Jesus would, absolutely requires you to intimately know the Word of God. Otherwise, we're just shooting from our hip all the time and trying to put a religious tag on it. For example, there were times when Jesus used very, very strong, provocative language against religious leaders. There were other times when he used very gentle language with terrible sinners. There were times when he threw tables over and kicked people out of the temple, and there were other times when he invited any and all who wanted to come to him. When you read about the seven churches in Revelation, there were times when Jesus warned and threatened a church, and there were other times when he praised and encouraged a church. The point is this. The ability to sift through all the possibilities of what Jesus might do in a particular situation requires a deep knowledge and a firm grasp of God's word. It's one thing to say we have faith. It's quite another to trust God at a deep level that gets things done because we are intimately aligned with the revelation that God has given us. Well, verse 7 further explains why Paul prayed so diligently for Philemon. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Paul had received much joy and comfort and love because the hearts of the saints had been refreshed through this brother in Christ. Notice how Paul identifies Philemon as brother. This is going to come into play next week because later he's going to identify Onesimus as a brother as well, okay? But the word refreshed here is a word that means to give rest and restoration. Apparently, Philemon was doing much for people in ways that refreshed them. Now, as far as we know, Philemon was not an elder or a deacon or a pastor or a teacher. He was a businessman. A businessman who submitted to God and allowed God to use him in some powerful, powerful ways. As I said, it was clear that Philemon used his wealth and his influence, whatever he had, to help the church of God. And he stands forever now in Scripture as being a refreshing man of God. Philemon, through the encouragement of Paul, I think is prepared and ready to offer forgiveness to this new brother in Christ, Onesimus. And Paul is confident that Philemon, through the knowledge and work of God in his heart, possesses that kind of depth. And so as we close tonight, just a little review of some practical lessons that we learn from verses 4-7. First of all, people in the church need prayer. I need it, you need it. And it is a great blessing to be a part of a congregation that lifts one another up in prayer. Secondly, we do earn a reputation in the church before God. What we do matters. What we do counts. Whether in prayer, whether in service to each other, those acts of love that we render unto each other is acts of service and love rendered to God. Third, we need a deep knowledge of God's word in order to function in a Christ-like way. We need more than just the label Christians in order to live lives that are pleasing to God. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. The relationship that we have with God comes by grace through faith. And the relationships that we are to have with one another are to be characterized by the grace-faith relationship we have with God in Christ. That's where we leave off tonight. We'll pick up again next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer.